Good afternoon, Saints. This is Cozy Pilato coming to you from Windsor, Connecticut. And today we're going to talk about the subject of praying through. And before we start with that, let's just pray right now. Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you asking for your unction on this word, asking that your Spirit would quicken to me the things that I'm to say, Lord, and that, Father God, your sweet Spirit would rule and reign in this word, Lord. Father, we need to learn how to pray through, and I just pray that this instruction in righteousness, Lord, would help us a little bit on that path. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. After I finished last week talking about plowing through and pressing through and preaching through, it was like the lights went on, and it was, my goodness, why did I not speak of praying through? But I think that was designed of the Lord, because I think that what's in my spirit to share, what's been rolling around, is probably something that will take a little bit longer anyway. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And I've got a history, I've got a heritage of godly people who have prayed, but I feel that I don't want to highlight that. I don't want to highlight my history. Because as many as successes as there have been in prayer, there have also been failures where I have obviously not prayed through on situations where I should have, or I've prayed through for my own selfish motive and desire, and seen those things come to pass, only to have the Lord show me that I'd not only pray to get them, I'd have to pray to keep them. And when I realized that they were not truly God's will, they were really not worth the effort or the time to keep maintaining them through prayer. And I believe that what is truly prayed through has a longevity to it anyway. It has a sustaining power within it. And so I've got a lot of thoughts today, and I'm just going to follow my thoughts, believing that as I've spent some time in prayer, that the thoughts are quickened, and this it's not going to make a lot of logistical sense, but I hope that there's a bearing witness in the Spirit. Now, the foundation of every ministry and any ministry is prayer. If you don't have that foundation of prayer, if you don't have that waiting on the Lord attitude regarding the execution and the successful outworking of your ministry and your calling, there's probably not a whole lot of life in it. There might be a lot of things might really make sense, and they may be well put together, and they may sound practical and at times even spiritual, but the breath of life on any ministry comes to a consecrated prayer life. So much to talk about on the subject of prayer, but our focus is on praying through. And if we're going to use Jesus as our example, which is my heart to do today, I really feel like I want to focus on the prayer life of Jesus, what kind of prayer life he had, because he's our primary example. And those who were closest to him entreated him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. And then he gave him the Lord's Prayer. And there's excellent material written on the Lord's Prayer where a man of God or a woman of God would dissect each part and bring each part of that prayer to life and cause you to see how you can use it as your template for praying. Not going to go down that road. And then there's the scriptures about where Jesus, another situation where he was basically teaching them to pray. He gave them the template of ask, seek, knock, and asking is the first level, and then seeking is a little bit of a higher level, and knocking is that intercessory level, and I don't feel to go into that either. And I'm just finding my way around in the Spirit, because I'm not sure exactly where the Lord would have me to go. But I'm feeling a sense of an unction that when speaking of prayer, we first need to have an understanding about what prayer is not. prayer is not, and Lord Jesus, maybe I shouldn't say that it's not, because I really believe that this in some ways can open the door. Talking to Jesus, talking to the Lord like you would talk to a friend, is not truly prayer. However, it's a door opener into prayer. Prayer is a communion with God, spirit to spirit. We pray out of our spirits, that which is deep within, the cry and the longing that's deep within works its way up through our being and out through our lips, and we pray. We form into words that which is in our spirit. This is true prayer. When we can form with our words that which is within our own human spirit to make supplication to God, to make God aware of our needs, to make God aware of what's in our heart, to just make God aware of just even what we'd like to say to Him. It's not as complicated as it may sound. You just have to tune your ear to the voice of your spirit, to hear what is truly the deep cry of your spirit, and then to pray. Can we think prayers? No, thinking prayers is not prayer, that's meditation. Thinking godly thoughts, thinking righteous thoughts, thinking thoughts about what we want to do, what we want to accomplish, the good things we want to do in the kingdom, the good things we want to do for the Lord. Those are our meditations. And that's why prayer is a little bit, is considered a labor. The Bible talks about those that labor in the word and in doctrine and in prayer. And that's why prayer is a little bit of labor, because it does take the effort of putting everything that's rolling around inside of you into words, forming words, speaking out the words. Sometimes it will be praying in English, sometimes or praying in your native language, whatever it may be. Sometimes it will be praying by the Spirit in tongues. Sometimes it's, see, there is that prayer of groanings that cannot be uttered. So with saying that, I will say that the difference between groanings that cannot be uttered and meditation is the fact that the groanings are the work of the Spirit, where meditations is of your own mind, your own faculties to form thoughts around the subject of God and godly things and holy things and vision and dreams and visions and prophetic thoughts and all that. That can all fall into the basket of meditation. But in the basket of prayer, it's the literal words that come forth out of your mouth that you can form. Now, when my granddaughter and I are in the car, traveling back and forth from her mother's place and our place, we have what's called the prayer road. And when we get on the prayer road, it's actually Route 291, which takes you over the river, over the Connecticut River, from the western side of Connecticut to the eastern, more eastern side of Connecticut, or back, whichever side you're going. It's a river that runs north and south in Connecticut. And so when we go over that river, it's a short, maybe, I think it's like maybe 5 miles, if that long. And when we go over that road, we always pray. And that's our prayer road. Then we have our praise and worship road, which follows our prayer road. So anyway, a lot of times she's loves the idea that we're going to pray out loud, and we take turns. I'll pray and she'll pray, or she'll pray first and I'll pray. I usually let her make the decision of who's going to pray first. And there are times when she'll be maybe in a little bit of a mood, and she'll say, well, I just want to pray in my head or in my heart. Well, I'm certainly not going to get into some kind of a little controversy with Natalia when she's saying she wants to pray in her head and in her heart. I'm not going to say, well, that's not really prayer, and Jesus won't hear you. Of course he'll hear you, and he'll hear you too. when you're praying from your heart and you're having those silent prayers. But I'm telling you right now, the power is in prayer is when you form words. And you look up the word prayer or pray and say, look up the word pray or desire or prayers and see how many times it says that prayers are they actually come out of your mouth. They are said. Prayers are said. They're cried out. So before we can pray through, we need to know just exactly what prayer is. And as I've said, it's communion of your spirit with God's spirit. It's your touching the Lord from within your spirit. Your spirit has its own voice. It's not the same voice as your chit-chat talking voice with your friends. Not the same. Prayer and just merely talking on a soulish level, it's not the same thing. Prayer comes out of a deeper well within your being. And when you learn that, you tap into something really special and really great. And you also learn, as you make your life about prayer, and you have a lifestyle of prayer, you learn that when you truly pray from your innermost being, where the will of God seems to have a lot more power and a lot more influence, the prayers you pray from your spirit man, from your inner man, get accomplished rather quickly. Because when you pray in the perfect will of God, God delights to answer. Sometimes when we're making prayer and supplication, it's because we really, 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 really super really want something really super bad. And we want God to do this thing. Usually these kinds of prayers have to do with the desires of the flesh, the desires of the heart. Good desires or bad desires, that's usually the prayer of supplication. You got to want it, something really bad, and you'll pray through just out of sheer heart, strong, pining away desire. You will get things. Now, if you think in your own life when you really wanted something, you really wanted something from the Lord, could have been a very spiritual thing, like for God to use you in a ministry or God to use you to witness to people to save souls. Could have been something more not so spiritual, like the desire for a certain person to have an interest in you or to be your friend. And you prayed and you prayed and you sought the Lord and you prayed for that thing to come to pass. Think of the passion and the energy that you put into that prayer. Bring something to your memory about on that level. Something that you really wanted, that you strongly desired. Take that energy. Take that passion and say, Lord, give me the same passion and energy to pray through to what is the will of God for my life, for the lives of my children, for the lives of my loved ones, for the lives of the church, for the life of the body of Christ. Take that same energy and put it to a less selfish desire. Put it into something you see in the Word. You go through the Word, you see things, you see qualities, you see things accomplished. I can think of all sorts of things. Thinking of that scripture where the Spirit, or the Lord actually, Jesus is speaking, and he's admonishing us that we need to be careful not to say we're going to accomplish something that we don't have it within ourselves to accomplish. Let me just, I want to pull up Bible Gateway and find that scripture. I'll put the word tower in because he talks about building a tower. Let's just scroll down here. And thank you, Lord. Okay, that's not the one I want. I think it was the Lord that said this. Okay, yes. Luke 14, going into context. Whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. I got to go through the whole chapter, not just this three-verse context. Okay, scroll down again. Okay, for whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation, and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first, and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way far off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that which he hath, he cannot be my disciple. So now this in context is talking about the price of the cost of discipleship. And not everybody who's a Christian is going to be a disciple. And you've got to kind of make up your mind, Lord, am I just going to be a good Christian? Or am I going to be to go all the way into discipleship? The currency of the kingdom is prayer. The currency of the kingdom is faith, praying in faith. Now, I believe if I find within myself a lack, that I don't have the goods to come up to this place where I can actually build a tower, or I can go successfully into warfare, that if I take my supposed passion for the things of God, for the things of the Lord, for coming forth into His image, His nature, His likeness, if I have a genuine passion for those things, that I can pray, that I can take the passion that I've used in the past to ingratiate my flesh, I can take that same passion. I think this is basically the story of Jacob. God saw from the beginning with Jacob that passion he had that was selfish, self-ingratiating, it was just, he was going to have what he was going to have. He was going to have his brother's birthright. He was going to have his brother's blessing. He was going to scheme to get what he wanted for himself. God knew the day would come that that passion for selfishness would be translated and would be transported and would be taken and placed into a desire for God. He came to that place in that place where he met the angel of the Lord in the way when he was leading his family. He was going to have to face Esau, and he was afraid for his life, and he cried and wrestled with the angel of the Lord all night long. Genesis, around the 32nd chapter of Genesis. But just put the story of Jacob or Jacob in your search field in whatever Bible app you're using and find the story. And what happened was that he prayed through
And he said, I will not let you go until you bless me. That passion that had in the past been used for his flesh was now being used to truly get a hold with God. He wasn't getting a stolen secondhand blessing that he had to connive and steal. No, he was getting something firsthand from God. He met the angel of the Lord and he wrestled. He saw a ladder. That ladder was spoken of again by Jesus in the New Testament. Angels ascending and descending on that ladder. Great teaching, preaching by Mark Hamby, I don't know if it's online, but about praying, how the angels get there, are ascending and descending on the ladder, and how they get there. Commands early in the morning, and they're taking the prayers up that ladder, and that's one of the things. If this was about early morning prayer, that's one of the scriptures that we could use. Great teaching. But anyway, Lord, help me to stay on track, talking about praying through, and talking about knowing what prayer is, talking about how our past prayers that we prayed, that were foolish prayers, that were fruitless prayers, even if we got our own way for a little while, soon fell by the wayside. But we can take that passion that we have inside for anything that's more about me, me, me than about God, God, God. And we can pray. We can say, Lord, the same intensity, the same cry. And you say, well, it's so hard to pray. And then you think about how I said we've got to form words. When you think of it, it's really not that hard. Because when you think of the thing that you've wanted most and you've been able to talk about, now we're just talking about the passions of life, of the natural life, the things that everybody wants and desires. Cars, money, houses, relationships, friendships, all the things that make for a happy life. Some people are extremely happy and don't have any of those things because they have Jesus and they know the Lord. Heard a story one time about a little Chinese man living in a room, a hidden room in a school up in the attic. That was, I think it was like 12 feet long, but it was only like 3 or 4 feet high. And he was hidden up in that space. Not only was that little man hidden up in that space, this man had actually had his eyes gouged out with a poker, with a burning hot poker, when he was persecuted for righteousness' sake, when he was persecuted for loving Jesus and standing up for his faith in the midst of horrible atrocities that were being done to Christians. And that man was full of the joy of the Lord. The person who told me about it said that he was so full of the joy of the Lord, and that he even told her not to tell the American Christians not to be praying against the persecution, because this is what was bringing them forth into such a deep relationship with the Lord that they could manifest his joy in the worst of trials and the most horrible of situations. Well, I don't pay attention to that prayer because I pray that the Lord just... People all over the world suffering persecution. Now, there's a prayer for you. There's a prayer while we're praying for houses and lands and cars. How about we pray for those who are persecuted and those who are suffering? Thank you, Jesus. Now about praying through. How do you pray through? Okay, let's say we got this foundation right. The foundation of what we're praying through about. We're praying regarding things that are going to have weight in the kingdom of God. We're praying about things that are not selfish, but we're praying prayers about the will of God. And yes, God sees It's his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Fear not, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Well, what's the kingdom? It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The Lord knows the things that you need in your life. He made you body, soul, and spirit. He knows the needs that you have. And he knows the desires that you have that are healthy desires that God places in the heart of every man and every woman. And he sees those things that we have need of. He says, seek first the kingdom of God. Let's talk about praying through to the kingdom. I know I feel like I keep cutting myself off and going down another rabbit trail. But I just pray that you can hear the cry of the Spirit regarding prayer and what I'm sharing with you. Now, we've laid this foundation. We've laid this foundation about our prayer life, that we want to have a mature prayer life where we're praying about things that matter to God, things that God cares about. God cares about the salvation of your family. God cares that your children serve the Lord. God cares that you live at peace with your neighbors. God cares that the household of faith be a place where he is manifesting and blessing. Souls are getting saved. Needs are getting met. We're coming forth in his image and in his likeness. God cares about all those things. And I'm going to try to stay on thought here because I want to share something eventually in the course of this word that the Lord did quicken to me today about our times. But when we get all those things in order, we can pray through. We can pray through. And praying through means staying faithful and consistent. It doesn't mean you're praying 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But it means that the set of your spirit is so toward the Lord and in communion with him that when you're called aside by the Spirit of God, you're on track. You're on the road. You're on the road that you're praying through. You're going to accomplish something, and you're going to see something accomplished, and you're not going to be sidetracked or waylaid or put off by any voices, whether distracting, diabolical situations that come up, or even good religious voices. Now here's one. And of course, we'll go with this distractions first. That can be anything in the carnal realm that incites a determination or it causes you to get your mind elsewhere than on the thing that you're praying. Can be a baby crying. It can be it can be that you get a phone call that your teenager was in a car accident. It can be anything. Those are distractions, and they're diabolical. And they're distractions you can't just ignore. The baby's crying and screaming. You got to pay attention to that baby. You get a call that your son is in the hospital and you better go and see what's going on. Well, you can't just ignore those things. When that happens, when those distractions happen, don't feel like you cannot put it on the shelf for a minute. And basically, the realm of the Spirit is always at work. And this is the thing about when you've got the Holy Ghost and you're praying through, you can be praying through even when other things are going on. Your spirit man can still be praying and still be praying through. And you will feel... You will feel in your spirit the tugging and the pulling and the cry. And just as soon as you can, get back to that place where you form words that come out of your mouth, that go into the air, go into the atmosphere, that principalities and powers, both from the good realm and the bad realm, can hear and know that you're focused and you're not giving up. You're still praying and you're still praying through. The more religious distractions are ones that go like this. Well, I've heard from God and now I don't need to pray anymore because everything's fine and God's going to do it. praise God. That's not praying through. That's the breakthrough. When you're praying and you get a prophetic word about a situation, that is the point of breakthrough. Keep on praying until the concrete evidence that you can see, that you can touch, that you can handle, that you can taste, is realized in your life. Breakthrough is the point of the prophetic word. You're believing God for something. Now, a lot of people never start even praying until they get a prophetic word. They don't, and often it's because they don't have their bearings enough yet in the Lord to even know what they should desire. And then a prophet comes along and says something to them, and they say, "Oh, well, that's it." Well, your inner conversation with the Lord and your relationship with the Lord should be such that in your communion with Him, God is giving you things and God is igniting desires within your heart that cause you to pray. And you may be saying, "Well, is this just me or is this just the Lord?" And you keep praying, and a prophetic word comes that says, "I am calling you to preach the gospel in India." And when you hear that, that's a breakthrough. The prophetic word is the place of breakthrough. The breakthrough is not your answer. Breakthrough is when you tear the wall back, and you can see on the other side. And when you see on the other side, you know exactly what's there. The prophetic word tells you exactly what's on the other side of the wall. What's at the top of the mountain? You look across, or you look down. You scale that mountain on one side, and then you get to the top, to the summit. That's where the prophetic word is. It's not the ultimate answer, but it sure is a good feeling, because it puts such a settled faith in your soul that you know you're going to make it the rest of the way through. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The prophetic word is the breakthrough. The prophetic word gets your faith to that level where you can see the answer. And then you keep going. You keep going. Let's think about Daniel. He was a man of prayer. We used to sing a song, "Daniel was a man of prayer. He prayed 3 times a day. The angels raised their windows just to hear old Daniel pray." And you know about that chapter where he was trying to figure out the times and seasons for the captivity and the children of Israel and when they would return to Babylon and all those things. And he went back into the book of Jeremiah and he got some answers. It was the prophetic word that brought the breakthrough in the prayer life of Daniel. And he finished and he prayed. He kept on praying. 21 days. Got that answer. So praise the Lord. Now, in the life of Jesus, praying through we want to pray through to something we really love to have: a bigger church, a better ministry, a fancier car, our kids to do better. A deliverance ministry. God bless those people who can actually fast and pray. And I haven't even touched on fasting on the subject of praying through, but think about those who fast and pray for 40 days so they'll have power in the ministry. That's pretty impressive, to pray through to that kind of power. They deny the self, deny the flesh, and they get power for the reward. But in the life of Jesus, and he prayed so many prayers for so many people, the Bible says that if If everything Jesus did was written, the world would not even have books to contain it all. But we see different episodes in the life of Jesus when he prayed. Sometimes he commanded, but most of the time he prayed for people. And they were healed, or he spoke the word, and they were healed, and they were delivered. But the place where Jesus really had to pray through was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He came to that garden, and the disciples were with him. They held back a little bit. He went a little bit further on. And they couldn't stay awake. They fell asleep. And Jesus said to them, "Couldn't you even watch with me for 1 hour?" So saints, when you can pray for 1 hour, be happy, because that's basically saying that you did even better than the disciples who lived right with Jesus, walked with him for 3 years, saw everything he did. So if you can manage to pray for an hour a day, that's a blessing, and you're going to see some good out of that. So set that as a goal, to at least be able to pray for an hour a day. But anyway, Jesus, praying through, prayed all night long. There's another time when he was choosing his disciples, he prayed all night long. He had to pray through on that. He had to make sure he had the right ones. And he prayed through. It took him all night long to pray through. But in the garden, what Jesus prayed through to was the ultimate sacrifice, the ultimate laying down of his will, saying, "Not my will, Father. If it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And I believe that the Lord is looking for a people who want to pray through in the way Jesus prayed through, and for the things Jesus prayed through to and for. He prayed that God would help him to lay down his life. And maybe it wasn't even, maybe that's the wrong way to put it. He prayed to the place that he was willing to say yes to his Heavenly Father and make a complete surrender. I know a lot of people who are accomplishing great things. I know people who have great anointings. I know people who have done great things in the name of Jesus and for the Lord. And I know a lot of people who, in spite of everything we see with the eye, in the secret place, between them and the Lord, and only God and them know, what have they really prayed through when it comes to a complete surrender of the soul to the will of the Father? Think of all sorts of things in my own home, my own life, my own family that need to be prayed through. And it takes faithfulness. It takes discipline. It takes time to pray through. It takes a willingness. It takes a heart. And it helps if you're praying in the mind of God, if you're praying for the will of God. But for every man choosing, every Christian choosing, am I going to just be a good Christian, or am I going to go all the way and be a disciple? Lord, I need to believe you and have faith that you're going to equip me to afford the tower. Equip me with soldiers who can help me go forth in warfare against the enemies of my soul, because they will be there when you make a discipleship commitment. Jesus said, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel, making disciples. He didn't say making good Christians. The message of Jesus, his end time last message, was that he wanted disciples. There's some 30-fold, some 160-fold, and some 100-fold. We've got to press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. That's what we got to pray through to, Christians. We need to pray through to a kingdom revelation of what it means to truly possess the kingdom. Not just things, not just ministry attainments, but pressing through to that place where we are truly his disciple. That was a prayer in the garden. I think John 17 is a garden prayer, and it can be broken down into three or four parts. And the first part talks about how he's glorified in heaven. And I always pray now, Lord, glorify, be glorified in this earth as you are in heaven now. We want to see you lifted up, raised up, exalted, preached, loved, adored, magnified in this earth like he is in heaven. And then the next part is Jesus praying for his disciples, then praying for his church. Just consider those things when you're reading that. And when you pray, you can pray for his disciples. Pray for those who are earnestly and honestly seeking him to walk with him and know him and live for him and pray through to godly things and godly desires. Pray for those who are on that front line. That can be part of our prayer life. And then pray for the church. And I want to end up with what I believe is a bit of a prophetic word the Lord gave me today when I was seeking him and I was praying for the church. And you know the Bible says the church is the pillar. Now let me just, Lord, I hope that what I've had to say about praying through, Lord, that your people have had ears to hear, Lord. You do desire to bless us, Jesus. And you desire to give us goodly things. You desire to meet the need of the human condition, Lord. You made us with appetites, Lord. You made us body, soul, and spirit. You've come for the whole man. And Father, there is a difference between your desire to meet genuine needs and us consuming things upon our lusts, Lord God. You know the difference, and you sort it all out, God. And I pray, Lord, for those who have needs, Lord, needs of fellowship, needs of friendship, needs of companionship, Lord, needs of shelter and all those things spoken of, Lord, that you say you care about, Lord. I pray you give us faith to believe for those things. But Lord, as we are a new man, a new creature in Christ Jesus, as we are spirit beings now, Lord, help us to also be concerned that we pray through for the needs of the spiritual man to be met, Lord. That we be a praise and a glory unto you, Lord God, from the realm of the spirit in our lives, Lord God. In Jesus' name, Lord, as you're preparing us, Lord, for a new life and a new home and giving us a little bit of a heads up, Lord, or a head start in this race, Lord God, that, Father, we will pray through, God, to the things that matter, and that will matter in the level or in the realm of the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, I pray that we will pray through, Lord, to right attitudes, Lord, to selflessness, Lord God, to living for you a righteous and holy lifestyle, Jesus. all those things that please you from the realm of the Spirit, in the level of the Spirit, God, we pray, God, that, Father, we will consider, Lord, what is of most value in the kingdom and be able to pray through. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, and today when I was praying, and I was praying John 17, that's in my prayer list, there's a part where Jesus is praying for the church. And I just want to, I think I'm going to read it. John 17. In the King James Version of the Bible. And okay, let's start with verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, and he's talking about his disciples, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, and that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved me as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Now, this verse 20 through 26 is talking about the church. The church being all those who have made the Lord Jesus Christ their Savior, working on making him their Lord. Jesus is not your Lord immediately, but as we grow in the grace to obey him, he becomes our Lord. And that's a whole nother teaching. We're not going to get into that. But I'm speaking prophetically right now to the church. The church are those who have believed on Jesus Christ because of his disciples, because of those who have preached the word, those who are honestly and truly following him, and we just take our spiritual lineage right back to Jesus Christ and his seed being implanted in the lives of his apostles and his disciples, and they laid a foundation which no man can lay, but it's Jesus Christ. He's the foundation, and we take our spiritual lineage all the way back to him. And because of his disciples and because of the preaching of the word down through the ages, it finally lands within our beings, and we've got that seed, the incorruptible seed of the word of God, and we become part of his body, part of his church, the fullness of him that fills all in all. Now, the Bible says the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. It's where we hear the truth. It's where we learn the truth. The church is also the threshing floor. It's the place where God deals with us. And people want the church to be utopia. The church is not utopia. The church is not the kingdom. The church is the people, is made up of the people who God is preparing for his kingdom to be manifest through the ages to come. The church is an eternal body, and the church is that upon which the Lord is working and forming his nature. His body and his church, synonymous terms, not talking about all the churches, buildings, not talking about that, but within all those places,
are those who make up the Universal Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I am so aware that it is time for us to come into this place of unity and being one in Him, being one with each other, and being as the Father is in Him and He is in the Father, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent me. The nature of the church has been one to be too taken up with divisions and problems and offenses, and it's time for that to stop. It is time for God's people to see the bigger picture of purpose. And if you're one easily offended, to be able to shake it off. And if you're one that offends, to realize the seriousness of what you're doing. And to be tender-hearted, to realize that not everybody in the body of Christ is as strong as you. Or as gifted as you. Or as self-disciplined as you, and that people are frail and weak and have problems, and instead of being offensive or dismissive in your actions towards those you feel don't measure up or don't live up, you be their strength, you be their undergirding, you be a prayer warrior on their behalf. Now there's two sides to this coin. There are those who offend and those who get offended. And I've heard down through the years, it's been said, if you get offended, well, you're full of pride. And that may well be true. But I see in the Bible where it says, if you offend one of his little ones, and I know that word means tempt to sin, but if you offend one of, and you do tempt someone to sin when you mistreat them, you tempt them to have a carnal reaction. But the Bible says if you mistreat someone, if you offend someone, if you lead them to have a carnal reaction to your behavior, it's better for you to have a millstone cast about your neck and that you be thrown into the sea. So it's time to get this right. It's time that this business of offenses, being offended and picking up offenses, this is another thing. I've had the Lord deal with me severely and strongly. He started it, he ignited it through a word that came through a brother I knew in Tucson, Arizona, who was a teacher in the church where we were. He wasn't the main preacher, but he was a teacher, and he did have the services from time to time. But he preached about not picking up offenses of one another, and you don't have to pick up every offense that a brother or sister in the Lord has. You don't have to be of the herd mentality. Yes, we're sheep, but let's have a herd mentality in the good way, in an obedient way, in a way that we're going to follow our shepherd, follow our leader, not in a way that we're going to give ear to every bit of whispering campaign that comes along. Those things cause divisions. Those things are so discord in the church and in the body of Christ, and it's time we need to heal the wounds, not make more. And so, let's determine that as part of his church, and you are, and I know that there are some who feel like that they don't need to be part of any church. Well, if you're born again, you are part of the church. Whether you're a contributing member, a faithful member, whether you never get together with anyone who is a part of his body in any context, whether you do or you're not, you're part of the church. And in word and in deed, you contribute to the health and the love that's in the body of Christ. And our words can cause healing, and our words can cause us to embrace one another or to dismiss one another and to be factioned. But I think the Spirit of the Lord is saying,
bind up the wounds, seal up the cracks, and be one. Be one. It's time to be seen and discerned in the earth as one body, not a factious body, not a sectarian body, but one. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The night is coming when no man can work. And there's a work to be done that requires unity, and it requires God's people to love each other and to be forgiven, not to be so touchy, not to be easily offended, and not to offend. Cast out those stones in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. We need to pray through to unity in the body of Christ. And I'll tell you another thing. You know, there are times, I'm sure there have been decades, where the Lord has separated and caused things to come to the fore that needed to be addressed while the Lord was working on us and forming us through different decades and different seasons. And I could talk a lot about that, but I'm not going to. But the Spirit spoke something to me today that I never saw before, first time. And it's that there are organizations, Spirit-filled organizations, that are assigned a fivefold ministry office. They are actually, as an organization, functioning in a fivefold ministry office. And I feel like the Lord showed me too that I see what their ministry office is. Even a third one that I think would, we all want the best part. Everybody wants to be an apostle. Not everybody is an apostle. But what I felt like the Lord showed me, and if you were in the context of my upbringing, which I was started out in the Assembly of God, and then the Lord took my family into some deeper life teaching, sonship ministries, and latter rain, and then the charismatic and renewal and third wave, and I've had a touch from all these different organizations or different movements. But anyway, it dawned on me today. It was like an epiphany that. And part of that teaching was that, you know, when we were being told we needed to come out of religious Babylon, it meant to come out of things that were as evil as some godless systems that I won't even mention names to some that have more light, like the Assembly of God. That was still considered Babylon because it was part of an organization, and we used to hear preaching all the time that, oh, you can't have two heads. If you have two heads, you're a freak, and Jesus is your head, and you can't have the Springfield, Missouri be your head, because if Springfield, Missouri is your head and your leader, and you're saying Jesus is your head, well, what difference is it now with all these apostolic movements wanting to bear rule, wanting to have a place? What is the difference between some of these new movements and some of that old teaching that made us worry that if we had the Foursquare organization or the Assembly of God or the UPC or any other organization as our head, we were part of a two-freak system. So sometimes I just think that, oh, Lord, what are we doing? What are we thinking? But anyway, this is what the Holy Spirit quickened to me today. All these organizations, they're not heads. They're part of the body. There is only one head, and these organizations that preach the truth of the name of Jesus and the true gospel, and they tell you that you need to repent of your sins, you need to be born again, you must be born again, they tell you that there's only one way, it's through the blood of Jesus, they are not freaks. They are not Babylon, like what we have been taught that they might be Babylon. because they have some system in their midst, and they have some structure. That doesn't make them Babylon. But what we need to see them is they're not the head. Jesus is the only head. So what are they? They, as organizations, are assigned a five-fold ministry office. And you'll see this consistently through their outworking and through the way they manifest into the society and into the Church of Jesus Christ. And I would say the Assembly of God is the evangelist. It's an evangelist ministry. They are assigned an evangelical ministry. That is their office in the body of Christ. If you have a heart to evangelize, go sit in an Assembly of God church. A Sunday doesn't go by where they're not stirring you up to bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll help you by having special church services. They'll help you by classes. They have an evangelical burden. They are functioning in the evangelical office. Now another one, and I'm not gonna belabor this one because this one is kind of rolling around in my spirit. I believe that the Vineyard movement, some might think they're prophetic, but I believe that they have a teaching mantle. They have a teaching gift, and they are in the office of a teacher. They seem to be a bit of a more cerebral movement. They're the thinkers. They're thinkers more than the feelers. They're the thinkers in the body of Christ. And I think that they have a teaching mantle on them. So praise God. I'm not going to go into any others right now. I feel like the Lord show me where there is an apostolic which denomination or ministry has an apostolic anointing, an apostolic calling, and they are functioning in the office of the apostle. You get true foundations if you get into one of their churches, but I'm just going to leave that. But anyway, praying through. I'm going to wrap this up. Praying through. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Making my list in my head of the things I need to pray through and in my heart. And I just pray that that which is of the eternal value is what will hold more weight. Because everything else is going to fall into place. And if it doesn't really matter all that much. Because we are just sojourners and pilgrims in this earth. We have a heavenly home. We're seeking a city. We're on a journey. We're looking for that city whose builder and maker is God. That's where our focus is to be. Everything along the journey, the path of the righteous, is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter to the perfect day. And Lord Jesus, I just pray that you would help us as your people to pray through, Lord. Give us hearts that are faithful and steadfast. Give us the true burden of the Lord. Help us to not waste our time on that which is just going to all fall by the wayside anyway. But Lord, let us put our affection on you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Now if you've been listening to this and you've been cognizant of a sense of a presence of the Lord that is drawing you and making you desire to be a part of this arrangement, and you want to ask Jesus into your life, I pray right now that you would open your heart to him. And I'm just going to pray a little prayer, and you can find your own time and your own place to pray something similar, but this will just help you. This will help you to understand how we pray when we want to come to Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, I have heard the word of the Lord today, and I feel my spirit being drawn, Lord. I ask you to come into my heart and to make me a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. I ask you to forgive me of my sins, Lord God. I confess, Lord, with my mouth, Lord, that I'm a sinner. But more than that, I confess, Lord Jesus, that you are God and that you have been raised up from the dead. And because of that, I can have a new life. I can be forgiven for my sins and of my sins. And I can walk with you. I pray that anything that I need to repent of, Lord, that you would bring it to mind and that I would quickly put it out of my life in order that I might serve you, Lord Jesus. I pray that you would lead me to a place where I have fellowship with your people who love you and know you and who delight in your word, Lord. I pray that as I read my Bible, that God, you would open the scriptures to me and give me understanding. In Jesus' name I pray. I thank you that I am now a part of the family of God because your word promises if I would confess you with my mouth and believe in my heart that you have been raised from the dead, that truly I would find your salvation. And I believe it this day. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Glory to his name. Thank you, Lord. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. Thank you, Jesus.